For the remainder of the summer, we're going to focus on change, personal change, inner change, lifestyle change. Most of us in here desire change. And in fact, for most of us, that is our confession, and it's a common confession. Lord, change us from what we used to be into what you want us to be. Change us into something better. We want to be better people. We want to be better Christians. We want to be better followers of God. I do pray that this is your desire, and this will be our journey for the remainder of the summer. No matter where you are on your journey, we all can use change. I don't care how good right now your spiritual life is. I don't care how good you are in with God right now. There is still room for change. It is our prayer that our change will ultimately result into the complete transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It is in this position that we submit to the Lord and His will for our lives. Lord, change us. It was His desire during the whole time of the Old Testament. Remember Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, where the Lord says, I will give them a new heart to know me, and they will return to me with their whole heart. There's this idea that God wants His community to be changed. Jesus Christ, when He steps on the scene, we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, that Jesus came preaching the good news, telling people to repent or change and believe this good news. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being so mighty. And God, we do pray that you would change us, transform us, turn us into better creatures. Father, I pray that we would submit to this idea that this change isn't always instantaneous, but will take place over time like a metamorphosis. Father, be with us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've stood here several times and shared with you the importance of names. Names are important. Amen. Names are important. Jason and Shannon, when are y'all due? 26 days. Have y'all picked out a name yet? You have not picked out a name. Are you having a boy or girl? Okay, how about I suggest some names for you? Now, you don't have to accept them, but just tell me if those are names that you would accept, okay? Alice Marie. They thought about it. Thought about it. I don't know. Brianna Lene. Wow, that's a pretty one, isn't it? All right, how about Jezebel? No Jezebel. What about Britney Spears Collins? No Britney Spears Collins. There's an importance in names. I mean, we don't have to go through this all day. I mean, if you don't believe that there's an importance in names, given the price of gas right now, why don't every one of you go tell your employers to put Deion Fraser on your check? And then give that check to me. If there's not an importance in names, there's an importance in names. And I'm so glad that people today, I think, are taking more stock into that idea. I mean, when Christy and I wanted to name our children, we purposely picked names that had purpose. I mean, Kira Brianna Kira means Lord or ruler. Brianna means virtue. And hopefully she'll live up to that name, that she'll be a virtuous ruler or the Lord of virtue. I don't know, something. But I hope she'll live up to it. There's an importance of name. And in the Bible, we see that all the time. There's an importance in names. People weren't just named haphazardly. They were typically named. Their names meant something. Elijah, for example. Elijah means, Jehovah is God. And these names represent something. Equally important in the Bible are the instances where names were changed. Sometimes there had to be a name change, and that name change signified something. Remember Saul of Tarsus, for example. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 9, it says, Saul, who also was known as Paul, it was Saul of Tarsus, saw this ruler, this evil guy. He was known for killing Christians at one point, but his name was changed to Paul. He became Paul the Apostle. Now, some say that his name was changed because Paul was a Gentile equivalent to Saul. Others believe that, again, his name was changed so that it didn't associate him with his former life of killing Christians, but he was trying to make Christians. So Saul of Tarsus, the murderer, to Paul the Apostle, the preacher of good news. The name change was significant. Remember, Peter wasn't always Peter. His name was Simon. In John chapter 1 and verses 40 through 42, Jesus called Simon, which means hearer. He called him Peter, which means rock or stone. And what we will read through the remainder of the New Testament is that Peter did indeed serve as a rock or stone or foundation in the early church. His name change was significant. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament, Jacob, which means heel grabber, and the Hebrew word for Jacob in Hebrew sounds like the Hebrew word for liar or deceiver. And it would seem that that latter word is a word that described Jacob. You remember Jacob. He was a guy who lied and tricked his father. He lied and tricked his brother. He kind of lived a life of deception. And then there was this point that we read of in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 and following, where Jacob is having this cosmic scene where he's wrestling with the man of God, wrestling with God. And he begs this messenger. He says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And then Jacob's name is changed to Israel, which means prince. Israel. And we all know that through this nation of Israel, that Jacob becomes the father of 12 sons. He becomes the father of Judah. And that is the line that our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace, was born through. The name change was significant. Then there's Abram. Abram was a simple man who was simply called to follow. In Genesis chapter 12, if you want to look with me, in Genesis chapter 12, we read of this simple man and this simple call in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord, it says in verse 1, had said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot. Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. We celebrate this guy named Abram. We've celebrated him through our Christian worship, through our Christian teaching, as one who received the title or the designation as Father Abraham. You want to sing the song? We receive that Abraham was this patriarch, this giant of the faith, for he by faith left all that he knew to be comfortable with him to follow the call of God. From Abram, which means high father, his name was changed to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, starting at verse number 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. His name was changed from Abram, which means high father, to Abraham, father of many. And Abraham not only is a great example of faith, but also of discipleship, being a follower of God. You see, what sometimes gets missed in the story of Abraham is what Abraham used to be. Joshua chapter 24. As Joshua is giving a farewell address to the nation, verse 1 says, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." This is what God says, church. "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave him Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hillside of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt." What we see is that Abraham didn't start off as this great father of the faithful, he was, with his family, a worshiper of other gods. God called Abram, who was a worshiper of other gods, to follow him. And through a series of events, God did things with him. God discipled him. Abram became a follower. And it wasn't until later that God changed his name to Abraham, signifying that Abraham was indeed a disciple. Church, I want to tell you this morning that the Lord declares today that he wants to change your name. The first name given to us in this journey, this metamorphosis, this life in Christ full of being changed, is disciple. As a disciple, we commit to drop everything in our former life in an effort to embrace the newness that is presented by our Master Jesus Christ. Now, the word disciple appears almost 300 times in our New Testament, as opposed to the word Christian, which only appears 3 times. There's this idea about being a disciple that is being communicated, I think, by its appearance so many times in our New Testament. And unfortunately, disciple is a word that we've lost in our language, in our church. See, to be a follower of God, to be a Christian, is to be a disciple. The word disciple, as it was used back in these days, was a powerful word because it communicated so many things. Jesus had disciples. We read in the Bible that John had disciples. But if you go back to those times, you'll understand that there were a lot of people who had disciples. Plato, the Greek philosopher, he had disciples. Aristotle, he had disciples. There were other great thinkers that were non-Christian. They had disciples. As a disciple, it was the role of the disciple to completely empty themselves of everything that they have learned, that they've been taught, all the feelings that they just was, that was them. They dropped all of that in an effort to be filled with the teaching of their teacher, their discipler, the person who was doing their discipleship. And so as a disciple of Jesus, we are saying to the Most High God that we are willing, that we have a desire to empty our attitudes, empty our knowledge of life, empty our way of thinking, empty our patterns and our habits, empty our ideas, empty our worldview, and have a commitment to be filled by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus's attitudes and his way of life and his way of thinking and his patterns and his habits and his worldview. And these come directly from the Most High God. It's the first step in our metamorphosis. Our change is to become disciple. I am no longer Dion. I am a disciple of Jesus. You are no longer Todd. You are a disciple of Jesus. No longer Sharon, a disciple of Jesus. You are now, we can keep the name so we can all keep it different. You know, Chrissy and Dion were different. You know, she looked better. She's a little bit lighter and I like chicken more. We're different. You can call me Dion. You can call her Chrissy, but the essence of who we are isn't Dion, and the essence of who she is isn't Chrissy. It's disciple of Jesus. And as a disciple, are you aware of the benefits? As a disciple, are you aware of the other names that you now can possess because you are a disciple of Jesus? That means, as a disciple, your name is no longer sinner. You shall be called saints. Your name is no longer outcast. You shall be called beloved. Your name is no longer orphan. You shall be called children of God. Your name shall no longer be failure. You will be called victorious. Your name will no longer be enemies of God. You will be called friends of God. Your name will no longer be lost because your name will be saved. Your name will no longer be worthless because you will be called redeemed. Your name will no longer be insignificant because you will be called ambassadors of God. Your name will no longer be ownerless, for you will be called His. You belong to Him. As a disciple, God has ownership papers. God owns your pink slip. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are God's workmanship. Taken from a Greek word, poema, workmanship. Literally, we are God's poem. Don't you know that God owns the rights to the poem He's writing in your life? And what's so cool is that there's so many different poems that God is writing. He's not writing all the same poem, but each one is unique. Each one is beautiful. Each one has its own message. We are God's home. The book of Isaiah, chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, speaking of Jerusalem, or Zion, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted. Name your land desolate. But you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you. This weird name, Hephzibah, it means the Lord delights in you. That your name will communicate to people. The Lord Almighty, great Jehovah, delights in you. Your name is delighted by God. There's so many names they probably used to call many of us before we were in the Lord. Some of you, I think of some of those names they used to call you. Scoundrel, liar, sinner. And as a disciple, as a follower of God, as one who has committed to empty themselves of everything that we know, only to be filled with what God knows, you now can be called God's delight. If you are a child of God, I want you to look yourself in the mirror in the morning. And I don't care what the world has tried to paint you as or describe you as. I don't care what your spouse has said about you. I don't care about what your siblings have said about you, or your parents have said about you, or your children have said about you. You're a child of God. You look in the mirror. You take a look at God's delight. Huh? God's delight. Listen to this song.
I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. I will change your name.
Seeks my face. A disciple. I'll share this in closing. While we were in Michigan at Chris's sister's house, and looking through boxes of papers and documents, came across a letter that one of her students wrote to her. Sister-in-law was in transition from leaving her current high school to another high school. So she had a lot of farewell letters. It was a junior girl who was writing a letter to Miss Petrie. And she wrote in the beginning about the music thing, thank you for letting me be in your choir. And this is a 2-page letter. And the next 3/4 of this letter was about how this girl, individual, this junior girl, was more impacted in her spiritual life than in music. She wrote words like, Miss Petrick, I remember you saying that you were a Christian first and an educator second. And I remember witnessing that throughout the time I've spent. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the people who knew us didn't know us by our occupation or our trade or if we sold good pizza or not, but they knew us because we were children of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people knew us because they knew we were ones who sought the face of God? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people knew that our worldview wasn't one that we were determining on our own, but our worldview was something that was being changed and ingrained by our master disciple, Jesus Christ. That's my encouragement to you today, that you will allow God to change your name to disciple of His, and that you would embrace all the names that come along with being a disciple, victorious, saved, and children of God, and beloved, ambassadors in God's delight. Let's pray. Father, as we confess right now to empty our cup, we with great anticipation place ourselves before you to fill our cup. Father, we confess right now to be your disciples. Father, as it took several years for you to even change the name of Abram to Abraham, Father, may we embrace sometimes slow and methodical ways that you will change us. That there will be some changes that will be instantaneous that we'll see right away. God, that there will be some changes that we might not see till we're ready to depart this earth. Father, give us confidence in knowing that we are still a work in progress. That the poem that you're writing in our lives may be incomplete, but that you're working toward completion in our lives. And we know, Paul's words is, that you who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. God, help us to have the faith to know that you're going to complete this work. Now we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.